Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This week, I've started a series that I've entitled, The Word Became Flesh. And I have CDs out on this. There's five CDs in this album. There's also a DVD album that was taken from television. And then there is a DVD album that was a live teaching from a Gospel Truth seminar that I held in 2008 in Fort Worth, Texas. And this is a condensed, abbreviated teaching of The Word Became Flesh. I've mentioned this before, but my wife has heard me teach a lot of things, and she said this is her favorite teaching. So for those of you who are wondering about, you know, should I get this, my wife thinks it's the best teaching that she's heard. And I'm just giving an abbreviated version of this, so I encourage you to please get this teaching. I've already made a lot of points, and I've talked about two questions I've had since the time I was a little kid about why did God have to become a man? Why did Jesus have to come? If he was God, couldn't he have produced salvation some other way than having Jesus coming? And then the second question is, why did it take 4,000 years from the time that Adam sinned until Jesus arrived? What about all of those millions and millions of people that lived in between Adam and Jesus, and they went without their redemption? Now, God was working, but it certainly wasn't the same covenant that we have today. Why did God wait 4,000 years? And these are questions I've had for a long time. I've basically answered the first one, and I hadn't got time to go back and recap the whole thing, but in a nutshell, God cannot lie. And when he created man, he said, you have dominion. You, physical human beings, rule this earth. And when we took God's power and authority and gave it to the devil, and Satan began to dominate the earth, in a sense, God would have been unjust. He would have lied if he would have come down and have just solved this situation himself. Because John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. And God gave control of this earth to physical human beings, not spirits. Physical human beings that had a spirit, but they were in a physical body. God didn't have a physical body, and therefore, by his own words that came out of his mouth, which Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says, it's impossible for God to lie. He couldn't violate his word. He had to allow things to go on until he could become a man. Now that is really significant. I don't know if I did it justice trying to sum it up in just a few seconds there, but that is a powerful truth. And this explains why God had to become a man. Let me turn over to John chapter 5 and quote something that Jesus said. This is a quotation from Jesus. And in John chapter 5 and in verse 26, it says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Jesus here is talking about his authority and how he got it. And he says, God gave me authority to execute judgment. And he says, it's because I am the Son of Man. You know, Jesus is called the Son of Man. He's also called the Son of God. Every time he was referred to as the Son of God, it's referring to his divinity. And the Pharisees understood that. Matter of fact, they took up stones. And he says, why are you picking up stones? What sin have I done? He says, it's not because of a sin. It's because you, being a man, claimed to be God when you said that I am the Son of God. And so the Pharisees interpreted him talking about being the Son of God as claiming deity. So when you use the term Son of God, it refers to the deity of the Lord Jesus. When you use the term the Son of Man, it refers to his humanity. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. He was God living in a physical body. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. And it says over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's talking about Jesus. That's the only time He came in the flesh, and Jesus was God. He was the Son of God, but He was in a physical body. So the term Son of Man refers to His humanity, and He's saying here that the reason He had authority in this earth to execute judgment was because He was the Son of Man. Now again, that's exactly what I've been trying to say, that God gave authority over this earth to physical human beings. And when mankind gave that authority to the devil, Satan is also a spirit like God. Satan doesn't just rule independent of us. He doesn't have some superior angelic power. Satan took the power, the authority that God gave mankind, and he is using human power and authority over us. This is why Satan always has to have a person to cooperate with him. Satan can't do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. A spirit can't operate in this earth independent of people. This is why in the 5th chapter of the book of Luke, when Jesus went to cast the demons out of this man who had a legion of demons, they besought Him, begged Him that He would send them into pigs. Because you know what? A pig has more authority than the devil because it's got a physical body. Satan has to have something to inhabit, something physical. So a slime, a slug has more power and authority than the devil. I really enjoy saying that, because that puts the devil in his place. Satan is a deceiver. He is evil to the core. He is bad, but he can't just go about and devour you without your consent and cooperation. He has to go about seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody because you have to submit to him. You have to yield to him to allow Satan to have influence into your life. And so Satan began to start taking the human power that God gave us, and he ruled because all of us had entered into sin, and all of us, to some degree or another, cooperate with the devil, and he was destroying us. God would have been unjust to come down and intervene in the affairs of man as a spirit to intervene in the physical affairs of this earth because he gave control of that to human beings. But God Himself became a man. And when He did, Jesus Himself said, the reason I have authority to set this straight, to execute judgment, to deal with these things is because of my physical body, because I am the Son of Man. Boy, that is powerful to me. That shows a lot of things. That answers my question about why did Jesus have to become a man? Why did God have to become a man? Because God didn't have a physical body, and only people with physical bodies could have dominion and authority and control. But Jesus became a man. Jesus paid for our sins. He literally defeated Satan in every turn. And then when He rose from the dead in Matthew chapter 28, He says, all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. And then He said, go ye therefore. And He shared this power and authority with all believers. And our authority now comes from the resurrected Lord Jesus. Before He became a man, God had authority in the heavens. But as I've already used this verse in Psalms 115, verse 16, it says, the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the sons of men. Man had delegated authority over this earth. And when, before Jesus became a man, He had authority in heaven, but He didn't have authority in earth. He gave authority to mankind. I know that that really rubs a religion the wrong way, especially those who believe that God just sovereignly does whatever He wants to, because what I'm saying is the exact opposite of that. No, God was limited by His own integrity. It's not that somebody else was so powerful that they took away some dominion and power. No, God gave it freely to us as an expression of His love. He loved us so much, He gave us power and authority. But He honored His Word so much that when we messed things up, He wouldn't just intervene as a spirit. He had to become a man. Now, how did He become a man? How did Jesus enter into this earth? Well, let me go back to the book of Genesis and show you how He created the first man. And you can see this all the way through Genesis chapter 1. Let me just give you some examples. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. In verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and it came to pass. In verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. In verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. In verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. In verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, etc. In verse 24, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. And then in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Verse 28, and God blessed them and said unto them. If you are paying attention, God created everything that he did by his words. Words were the parent force to everything. And our original parents, Adam and Eve, were created by words. You know, if you've watched my program just a few months ago, I had on Dr. Carl Ball, Dr. Grady McMurtry, who are scientists, and we talked about the evidence for creation versus evolution. I'm not going to go back and reteach all of that, but I tell you, we did not evolve from slime. We are not just an accident that happened. We aren't an evolved animal that doesn't have a spirit living on the inside of us. We don't just die and that's the end of it. We leave this physical body, but we enter immediately into the presence of God or into an eternity where we will be forever separated from God. We are a spiritual being that was created by words. We didn't evolve. It wasn't a lightning strike. It wasn't a big bang. It isn't all of these things that people have tried to make it. We were created by God. And we were created by words. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this is to say this is how God created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and people and animals. Everything was created by words. That's how God creates, is by words. When it came time for him to become a man, he needed a physical body. How was he going to do that? He couldn't just inhabit a physical body of a natural person because the Bible says that we've all been born in sin. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Any person that is born of the union of a man and a woman is going to have a sinful nature. Now, I could spend a lot of time teaching that because a lot of people today don't believe this. They think that you are born innocent and holy and pure, and that later on in life, when you are 3, 5, 10, 12, whatever, they believe that you sin and then you become a sinner. But the Bible says, David said that he was born in sin. In sin did his mother conceive him. That's not talking about that it was an adulterous relationship, that he was born out of wedlock. It's just saying that every one of us were born with a sin nature. You don't have to teach a baby to be selfish. You don't have to teach a young child to go over and take that toy and to throw a fit and complain. If you are paying attention, a young child can be very selfish. A young child can hurt other people. You have to teach a child to turn the other cheek. You have to teach a child that it's more important to be a blessing than it is to just constantly think about yourself and be selfish. All of us were born with a sin nature. And I could go to Scripture and I could teach that from many, many, many places. But hopefully all of you are observant enough to recognize that that's true. We were born in sin. And so God could not just become a physical, natural human being. He had to have a physical body, but it needed to be without the sin nature. So how did God create the first man without a sin nature? He spoke him into existence. But now things had changed. God was no longer in control just by himself. If anything was going to be done on the earth, it had to be done through men. He had given dominion of this earth to physical human beings, and men had to be involved. You know, you can see this easily with the devil. that the devil can't just do things to people. He has to have someone cooperate with him. Satan can't do anything without your consent and cooperation. In a sense, God was limited by the same things because He had created this earth and turned it over to physical human beings. And for God to just intervene in our affairs without consulting us, without having some person to flow through, would have violated His directive that He gave men. You know, right now, I just feel in my heart that there's some people think, boy, you are really getting technical. You are just, you're making too big. It can't be that complicated. This is how God created. This is why the Word was given. And you know, just because people don't want, they just want to say, well, I just believe God can do whatever He wants to. You can feel however you want, but I'm telling you, the Word of God shows over and over and over that God limited His sovereignty. He limited what He could do in this earth by giving us power and dominion. You know, one of the clearest passages to me on this is Psalms chapter 78, verse 41. This is a verse that God used to change my life on January the 31st, 2002. And it says, in their heart, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That just says as clearly as anything that you can limit God. Not because you're so big and powerful and you're so awesome that you are equal to God. No, God, out of His love for us, gave us an authority in this earth, and God limited Himself. He is not going to force us to do things. And that scripture clearly says, talking about the children of Israel that came out of the land of Egypt, that they limited the Holy One of Israel. He wanted them to come from Egypt with a brief stay at Mount Sinai to get the law and then go in to Israel. And because of their own disbelief and rejection of God, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. That was not God's will. They limited what God could do in their life. And God spoke that directly to me, that I was limiting what He could do in my life because I wasn't cooperating with Him. Through fear of a number of different things, I was limiting God. And when God spoke that to me, I mean, I changed. And it has now been nearly 11 years, and my life and ministry has just totally transformed. You couldn't even recognize it. It is so transformed. And it was because I changed, not because God changed. God was wanting to do more and to bless me and to use me to touch more people than what I was able to do because of my own stinking thinking. And I had to change. And when I changed, I mean, it just turned God loose. So there's people that just resent all of these things because they just think God controls everything. They make God responsible for the failure of every single person. And if you're a dud, and if things haven't gone right, and if everything's going bad in your life, there are people that take great satisfaction in thinking, well, God made me this way. It was God's will for my marriage to fail. It must have been God's will for all of this. I actually knew a man one time who had demons. He was lusting. He was a pastor in Boulder, Colorado. He was lusting after the women that were in his congregation. And he finally talked to his wife about it. They admitted that he had problems. He had demonic problems. He couldn't control it. And he was going to get these demons cast out of him because he just was consumed with lust. And he went out, and as he put his hand on the doorknob to get into his car, he said, it wasn't God, but he said it was God, spoke to him and said, aren't I sovereign? And he said, yes. And he says, you couldn't have these demons if I didn't want you to have them. And this guy refused to go get deliverance from his demons of lust because he said it was God's will that he have it. You know, most people say, well, I don't believe it's that extreme. Well, I don't believe it's near that extreme. I tell you, God limited His own sovereignty by giving us authority and power here in this earth. And by doing that, it limited what God could do. Now, take all of these things that I've said and go back to He created the first Adam by just speaking it into existence because there was nobody else in this chain of command. There was no other considerations. God was in absolute, total control. Nobody else was involved. And He just spoke and said, let us make man in our image. And boom, man came into existence. But after the fall, God could not just speak like that because He had delegated control of this earth to physical human beings. And God had to speak through people to get His Word once again to create another sinless body. But here's the problem. Now all of the people, all of the human race was corrupted by sin. And you know what? God just couldn't find one person who would speak everything with the same power and the authority that He could speak by Himself. When He had to flow through us and He had to once again speak another body into existence that was created, not just one that came through the natural method, but when He had to create a body, a sinless body, for Jesus to inhabit, He had to go through people, and because of people's corruption, He wasn't able to just find one person that would speak everything. For instance, in I think it's Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin and that His name would be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But you know, can you think what it would be like for Isaiah to prophesy and write it down for the world to see that there is going to be a virgin that conceives and brings forth a son? You know, I've said some things. I've prophesied. I've said things to people. I've called people's names out before. And I've told them, God told me that your name is. And you know what? It's hard sometimes for me to be bold enough to speak this, because if I'm wrong, if this was just me and if it wasn't God that was inspiring it, people were going to think I was absolutely crazy. And yet I've been able to speak out and call out people's names. I've been able to tell people things that I couldn't know by myself. But it takes a lot of faith. I can't even imagine what kind of faith it would have taken to say that a virgin is going to have a child and that child is going to be the Everlasting Father, God manifest in the flesh, that God is going to become a human being. You know, once it's written down and once we can see the fulfillment of it in the Lord Jesus, it's a lot easier to go back and read that and see the blessing of it and everything. But if I was the one that God was speaking to me and I was going to stand up and prophesy and say a virgin is going to have a child, and this had never happened. Nobody had ever prophesied. It had never been talked about. Nobody had ever thought this before. I guarantee you, everybody would think I was crazy. And I believe this is one of the reasons it took 4,000 years for Jesus to come into manifestation, because God couldn't find one person that would speak everything that needed to be spoken for Jesus to have a physical body, to recreate a second sinless body. And it just took 4,000 years. Isaiah got a portion of it and spoke a number of prophecies. Malachi spoke a prophecy about where Jesus would be born. And of course, every one of the prophets spoke things, and God used people to bring forth these truths. And this is the reason it took 4,000 years, is because God had to flow through people and speak the body of Jesus into being. And that's why the Bible says that the Word became flesh.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994. We've outgrown our current facility, and we're taking the limits off of God by stepping up to the next level. Ground has been broken on our new Woodland Park campus. Land is being cleared, and soon construction will begin on what Andrew calls the barn, our new student auditorium and classrooms. We'd like to invite you to join hands with Andrew and Jamie by helping us complete funding and construction on the future home of CBC. You can be a vital part of changing lives around the world by becoming a foundation builder today. Call, write, or log on to awmi.net for more information. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life and change the world.
Are you going to the men's advance?
I'm going.
I'm going.
I'm going.
I'm going.
I'm going.
Karis Bible College, Colorado proudly presents our annual Men's Advance in Colorado Springs, January 17th through 19th, 2013. Are you going?
This week's teaching is a condensed version of the complete series titled The Word Became Flesh. The entire teaching was recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar and is available on either CD or DVD. Or you can get the original five-part DVD series as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled The Word Became Flesh, Part 3. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his interviews with Dr. Carl Baugh and Dr. Grady McMurtry. These interviews aired during Andrew's recent series titled Christian Philosophy. The As Seen on TV DVDs are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a special 3-day Gospel Truth Seminar, January 3rd through the 5th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Karis Bible College Men's Advance, January 17th through the 19th. He'll also be in Humboldt, Texas, January 24th, in San Antonio, Texas, January 26th, in Santa Clara, California, February 7th, in Anaheim, California, February 8th, and in Pasadena, California, February 9th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.